You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Elijah Gowan. Elijah, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for the invitation, for sure.
Elijah, we're going to be talking about your show, Spirit and Shadow, which is currently on view at Robert Mann Gallery. I love the work in this show, and I'm looking forward to talking about it. Before we get into the individual works and process and more, the title, Spirit and Shadow, is really kind of evocative and beautiful. Can you tell me a little bit about that? I mean, I know it seems to allude to some of the imagery and what it's about, and perhaps even the narratives there, but what do you mean by spirit and shadow?
This exhibition created by Robert Mann Gallery and their staff is two series that they put together that I never conceived of an exhibition. One is about snow and the illumination of snow and darkness, and the other series is a 10-year project photographing fireflies. But both series have this very poetic sense of light illuminating from the darkness. And so I've been photographing for 30 years, and so it was a good chance to say what's changed in my work over years, what do disparate things have in common. You can change cameras and subject, but you always yourself. And so I think that Spirit and Shadow really did kind of come forward as a title because of these visual flecks of light or the fireflies in the darkness coming out of the dark. But I think it also is about my process and interest in the poetic transformation of space and the landscape, and how the darkness really is this kind of metaphor for the mystery and ephemerality within life, and the revelation of these spirits or ideas or different pieces that come to your understanding in the moment of photographing. And so photographing in the dark, you really have to have this leap of faith. And so I think afterwards you see what happened. And so I think that's where the title came from, because my work through the years really has had to deal with this transformation of the everyday into something spectacular.
I love that. Let's talk a little bit more about the spectacular, because you mentioned a few things there. You're also talking about a kind of spirit, a kind of a way of viewing things that changes, right? It sounds almost metaphysical, or maybe spiritual isn't quite the right word, or visionary. I'm kind of grasping at the content without trying to nail it down too much. It sounds like there is something ephemeral that you're after, right?
I think so. Certainly my background of my family from Virginia and family members have been preachers, and there's such a kind of religious atmosphere that's often exuded in the landscape and the people and the sense of place in the Southeast. And so certainly as I was starting many years ago, that was the culture and kind of a worldview a little bit, and that it really is this world that's imbued with faith and doubt. I think some people are more directly thought of that faith and doubt within a religious kind of context. I think of it more of a spiritual thing, but also one about ecology and our faith for the future and in human being and how optimistic we can be. So I think that's a little bit about how I think about making art, and I think it is a little metaphysical.
So tell me how growing up also affected that, where you grew up. That sounds like a big influence here, childhood.
Yeah, we definitely camped out a lot. I was in the Boy Scouts, and so I love being outside. And so I think the landscape for graduate school, I went to New Mexico, that had this really influence of how landscape and technology work together or butt heads sometimes. And so that's another theme sometimes that come to bear. But certainly early Southern literature, Flannery O'Connor, Eudora Welty, those are really important kind of touchstones, how you could tell a story about place. And so I think these photographs, whether it's middle of a snowstorm or this river in Malaysia that I'm photographing the fireflies, I really try to build a vision about what something doesn't look like, but what it feels like. And so I think the atmosphere and the heat, those are things that I'm trying to do. And I certainly found that in early reading Southern literature, for sure.
And, you know, it's so interesting hearing about that Southern literature and how that's had an effect because, you know, although I've read Flannery O'Connor, there's a certain ethic to that kind of literature, right? A certain something about community and more, really, that's happening in that literature.
Yeah, I think that, you know, often it's described as a Southern Gothic, but I think it is the function or dysfunction of culture and faith in humans, and I think Eudora Welty has a little bit more, and then in Flannery O'Connor it often goes to a darkness. But I think that is, again, that spirit and shadow is could be of the human conditioner, the optimism we have coming through the days of darkness that we have to kind of step through to get to something more optimistic.
Yeah, I like that. Days of Darkness. So let's talk about some of these individual works, because as you're saying, you know, initially some of this is about snow being illuminated, which has, you know, the quality of, as we talk about this, has a kind of unearthly quality. A photograph changes how we see snow, right? So in some of these, and there's a number of them that are very beautiful, and I suppose they also have a relationship to fireflies themselves, but there's something called Tree One. That's a beautiful print that looks like the tree could be decorated with these, you know, kind of images of snow, but it also seems kind of illuminated. What do you see in a tree like that? Is my read correctly? I see it as kind of like something's glowing here. But also it's just about the beauty of the tree itself, right? I mean, just pure beauty.
I think, well, you know, certainly walking in a snowstorm and being this silence and surrounded in this moment, in this darkness, these photographs often use flash so that to your eye it's just the sound and an image of a tree. But then when you hit the shutter and the flash goes off, it illuminates all the millions of these snowflakes that you couldn't see with your own eyes. And so it's the everyday that's suddenly transformed like a lightning bolt that hits. And so I think whether it's the snow or the fireflies that we traveled to places like Malaysia and Thailand to arrive at the where there was no moon out so that the fireflies would out of the darkness kind of illuminate. And so in this boat, in this river, to where the fireflies are climbing up these trees, they really do seem like burning bushes or these illuminated kind of moments that the eye, again, can't quite see, but through long exposures or flash, I can transform that landscape.
Yeah, I like that so much. So you also mentioned fireflies there, and there's, of course, an image, fireflies in trees, which I like the pairing of these that relates to it so much. Let's talk about that, fireflies in trees. That image that you're just discussing also feels, you know, luminous, and I guess there's something that's happening with flash there or something else, right? Flash lights up snowflakes, but there's something else with these fireflies, right? I don't know if that's a long exposure or what, but it looks like 100 of them are glowing at once or more.
It is. Yeah, they're like these traces of, you know, something that goes through a light, and every time a light or flash hits, it has a kind of tracery effect on it. So it is long exposures in a dark, and as I was working with scientists to find out where, around the world, these populations were declining, where they were still in big places, still alive. I found out that the fireflies that we know in the East Coast in the U.S. that we're used to them flying while illuminating, these go to a river and climb up a tree that's kind of half submerged in this brackish water, but they synchronize. So they don't fly, they just stay on the tree, but they synchronize. And so they talk with other fireflies in the colony to do these kind of Christmas tree patterns on and off. And so they're these amazing kind of insects for sure, but I think the through the camera, it even becomes more. It's not a document, it's this kind of painting again of this kind of bush that's on fire with these fireflies.
So that idea of a painting of a bush on fire also has a kind of and just stop me if I'm reaching here, but that also has religious overtones, right? Or not religious overtones, but like ecstatic overtones to take religion out of it. Like you're seeing a vision here. I mean, fireflies are like that. When I've seen them, it just seems like, oh my God, what am I looking at? And how is this happening?
Yeah, it's really magic. How do they do this? How do they build these chemical flashes out of their bodies? I mean, it's something that, we can't do. And so I think imagination and these fantastical things, I think early on I was really interested in photography's ability to not just document again, but to really illustrate and present and to construct. And so these are just with long exposures. But while looking at the images on Photoshop or after I get back, they're really very dark. And so I have to try to lighten them up. And so this one that was Firefly, one of this burning bush, was lost. It was lost in the darkness. And I didn't see it. And so just one day I looked again and said, well, let's just see what this looks like brightened up. And out of the darkness of this dark Photoshop image came these lines, this bush intertwined with these snaking, illuminating fireflies. And so it was just like, wow, this is like the 19th century painting or something that I love to look at, because it's all so much about feeling.
Yeah, I like that so much. And to talk a little bit about your process here, over the years, have your cameras changed, and what did you start using, and what are you using now?
You know, I really seem to, for every series, try to start at the ground up about what a photograph is, what can it be, do I want to use a camera? And so I've gone through many, many years in the beginning using film. I've gone to series that are cameraless. In fact, some of the fireflies started with the kids bringing me these fireflies in a darkened garage. And I said, well, before you let them go, let me have them walk on this film that I happen to have film around. And so the fireflies walk on the film, and their illuminations illuminate the film itself. And so I was able to scan these and kind of build this illustration of these wild painting marks as they walk around. And so sometimes a camera is needed, but sometimes it's not. And so I'm always trying to kind of build this new photographic image, or really kind of push what a photograph is.
Well, now that's really fascinating. So tell me more about that. You're talking about the fireflies walking on the emulsion, the negative, how does that work exactly?
Yeah, I think I had some old ortho film, which is you can see in the red light, and it's for making enlarged negatives for alternative processes. And so I guess through my career, I've done, the digital world, but every 10 years or so that as technology changes, and I will keep up, but then also dig back into photos history for using paper negatives or orthochromatic film, that I can kind of see where the fireflies are and keep them on the paper a little bit. And then I can take three or four sheets and scan those to build kind of a collage of that evening's activity. So it is this weird document of what the children brought to me. And I think that's what stayed in my mind was the ephemerality of fireflies, but then also the children, they were getting older. And so I really saw this series about change and transformation of the family as well.
Well, that I wouldn't have seen, change and transformation of the family. So in a sense, these are portraits.
They kind of are. In the U.S., you know, that they started off of the children collecting fireflies and learning that they were disappearing due to light pollution, pesticides we put on the lawn. And so all those issues kind of came to mind of what will be here for the next generation. Will they see fireflies or not? So it definitely was a little bit of nostalgia, but the ephemerality of the family, just like the fireflies, they come mysteriously for, you know, a couple of weeks every year in the U.S. And so I think the, you know, reflecting on that kind of things don't last forever. And so whether it's the fireflies coming or childhood itself, I think this series, for me, that's what it kept going. And so year after year, I was able to photograph in different ways. And so in the end, it's taken 10 years to come up with this full series.
Wow, yeah, and it is such a gorgeous series. There's others that feature, you know, homes in them. I mean, this is going back 10 years, but House One has an incredible feeling to it. We're looking at a home, but it also seems to be kind of a shower of snow in front of it, right? That feels like it's lighting up the whole area. I'm sure it's not, but this isn't the night shot. This is daytime, right?
This is kind of at dusk, where the sky still has a little blue in it, but there's a flash also involved with lighting up some of the snow. Sometimes at Christmas, we'll go to other family that lives in Syracuse, and so certainly there's snow and landscape that's really interesting there that I kind of get itchy and say, well, let me go out into this storm and see what I can do. Sometimes when the storm stops, I will reach down and kind of construct the scene a little bit more. And so take handfuls of snow and throw it up in the air a little bit. And so, sometimes these are just naturally occurring. And sometimes I have to kind of install a little bit of snow into the situation, but it really has this great kind of showering of light over this holiday house that was, kind of what I felt when you're in a house that you feel you're loved and surrounded by family. It's such this warm kind of feeling. So I think that's why I like that photo.
And you said installing. Sometimes you have to install some snow into there. What do you mean by that?
Well, I guess that you know, I've always thought or liked the idea of the never let the truth get in the way of a good story. And so sometimes when something works, I have to kind of help it to try it again. And so whether it's throwing up snow or moving things in the picture a little bit or moving me, you know, like a filmmaker, I guess, sometimes I have to kind of put in myself a little bit to activate the scene or activate the environment to get it to go.
I like that so much. And the cameras that you're using, how have they changed over the years?
Well, certainly I started with film cameras. I started small and moved up to 4x5, which has the amazing ability to have swings and tilts that would change the perspective and scale. So very early on, I was seeing how photography could be changed and altered from the straight photograph. Through Polaroids and no cameras at all, and then until digital world. Sometimes I'll pair a digital high-end camera so it looks kind of grainy, and so some of these photos I've taken in the past, of which there's a small wall of these kind of as an extra B-side, if you will, of this series called Falling and Floating that look like video stills or grainy pictures because they're used with digital cameras, but I'll combine it with paper negatives that are grainy and feel the feel of paper. And so sometimes making a photograph is not this direct take picture to show it. There's a circuitous route sometimes that I'll take. Mm-hmm. And so certainly process is this mark making a process is really important to do because sometimes in the middle you reach what the photograph is. And so I don't start often knowing what the photograph is going to look at. I just try to figure out what the thoughts and concerns I have and where that will lead.
I like that. Thanks so much for talking to me about this, Elijah. I know this show is up for listeners. This runs to January 31st. There's links here to find out more about the show and to go see it. I want to ask you one more off-topic question. What are you reading at the moment?
At the moment here, I am reading kind of fun books. And so I'm reading, I love travel, but also travel through food. And so the show in the Fireflies was shown last summer in Japan, in Tokyo. And so in getting ready for that trip, I started to read these books called The Restaurant of Lost Recipes. That I guess I understand is a Japanese bestseller. And so it's of people that come into this small diner in Kyoto to try to find last recipes from their youth, to try to find some of the chef is also a detective. And so he'll track down these recipes and make you the food from when you were a child. And so it's this really amazing, nostalgic kind of book. Looking at our memories and how they're so much tied up with smell and food. So that's kind of a fun kind of book I like to read.
Thanks for sharing that. That does sound like a wonderful read. Elijah, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. Again, listeners, go see this show. It's running to January 31st. Elijah, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for talking. That was fun.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.